Current time is 6:05. Today's date is May 24th, 2016. This is a regular board meeting of the Canotillo Independent School District. Sonia, can you please call roll?
Yes, ma'am. And the time is 6:05. Ms. Fritzi.
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Here.
Mr. Medina.
Present.
Mrs. Quintana.
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Present.
Mrs. Searles.
Here.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Here.
I see we have kids. Pledge Allegiance. Can we have some kids up here for the Pledge Allegiance?
Come on now, don't be shy.
You should get jumping
on it. Pledge Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you.
Thank you. Could Mr. Medina and Mr. Rodriguez, whichever your choice for our mission and vision?
I'm going to go first.
Go ahead.
So, on the vision statement, it's Canotillo ISD is a premier school district with nationally ranked multi-literate graduates ready to excel in college, their careers, their community, and in life. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Our mission statement. Canotillo ISD's purpose is to provide high-quality educational experiences that will inspire and prepare all students to apply the knowledge and skills necessary to become effective leaders and productive citizens. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Next item, Ms. Sonia.
Item number two, board honors, Mr. Leon.
President Fritzi, board members, Dr. Galvis. We have an impressive list of distinguished honorees here with us tonight. Our first honorees are the top performing students from the Canisteo Middle School and all the FA Middle Schools in the Achieve 3000 program. Achieve 3000 provides the only patented cloud-based solutions that will deliver daily differentiated instructions for nonfiction reading and writing that is precisely tailored to each student's Lexile reading level. We utilize this program at both middle schools for all 6th, 7th, and 8th grades. And now for our student honorees from Canisteo Middle School, for the highest Lexile gain within the school year, we have Anissa Mendez.
Thank you.
Of CHS and North Missouri College High School valedictorians and salutatorians.
Now, this month's board meeting is always special because we always honor the hard work and dedication of our committed valedictorians and salutatorians at both high schools. Unfortunately, tonight, the valedictorians and salutatorians are competing in academic competitions. But we do have some parents here as well as one of our principals here to accept the honors for them. First, with an impressive GPA of 102.8148 and a full academic scholarship to attend the University of Texas at El Paso, we want to congratulate the Northwest Early College High School Valedictorian for 2016, Ms. Alondra Sierra. To Canutillo High School, graduating with a GPA of 101.3231 and a full academic scholarship of $193,140 to attend Harvard University. We want to graduate with a valedictorian for Canutillo High School for 2016, Mr. Daniel Cisneros. Salutatorian from Canutillo High School for 2016, Ms. Annalise Leanne Ludwig.
Congratulations.
We're pretty happy.
Massachusetts.
Last month, we honored the Teachers of the Year and Employees of the Year for all our campuses and central office. Now, as part of the selection committee who had the honor of interviewing the candidates for this year's Teacher and Employee of the Year Awards, I can tell you it was an absolutely amazing and talented faculty that we have working for us in the Canateo Independent School District. This month, we are happy to honor those who have been chosen as a Teacher of the Year for the Canateo Independent School District and who will represent us as they compete for the distinction of the Region 19 Teacher of the Year Award. First up, from Congressman Sylvester and Carolina Reyes Elementary School, our Elementary School Teacher of the Year for 2016, please welcome Ms. Christina Dudon. Canateo High School, our Secondary Teacher of the Year for 2016. Let's have a round of applause for Ms. Regina Bustillos. We also want to honor the woman who was selected as the Employee of the Year, and I'm not sure if she's with us tonight, but from Northwest Early College High School, please welcome our Auxiliary Employee of the Year for 2016, Ms. Myra Frausto. Teachers and employees of the year, we're happy to have them honored, and we look forward to them competing in the Region 19 Teacher of the Year Awards. Now, moving from the classroom to the field, tonight we have the privilege of honoring one of our talented athletic trainers for her commitment to her profession. This spring, the Sun City Athletic Trainers Association presented Kemetio High School's Linda Hayes Dushikin with the Manny Pacias Award at their annual Hall of Fame induction ceremony and banquet on March 26th. This award is given to a young athletic trainer that has been in the profession, for 8 years or less. The recipient must be nominated by his or her colleagues, have contributed to the improvement of the Sun City Athletic Trainers Association, and also promote the athletic training profession. And for all this and her service to our school district, tonight we honor Ms. Linda Hayes Dushikin. Championships with our district, and he made history in 2014 when he led the Kemetio Eagles to the state Class 5A Division II semifinals, taking our team farther than any other El Paso football team has ever reached. And just last month, we honored him as an inductee into the El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame. Tonight, we would like to honor the legendary coach, Scott Brooks.
Number two, any group of five or more persons must appoint one person to represent the group views to the board. Item number three, the board is not permitted to discuss or act upon any issues that are not posted on the agenda for tonight's meeting. The board has adopted complaint policies that are designed to secure at the lowest possible administrative level a prompt and equitable resolution of complaints and concerns. Each of these processes provides that if a resolution cannot be achieved administratively, the person may appeal the administrative decision to the board as a properly posted agenda item. For further information, feel free to contact the superintendent's administrative assistant. Madam President, we have three speakers, and our first speaker will be Tom Bushido.
Thank you to the board for the opportunity. I simply wanted to introduce myself. My name is Tom Bushido, and I'm the Republican candidate for sheriff of El Paso County, Texas. A little bit about myself to both voters, those over 18, and the board members. I'm a retired United States Army Green Beret. I served 23 years as Special Forces, retired as Sergeant Major of 3rd Battalion, 5th Special Forces Group. Combat tours with 52 countries throughout the world. I've been awarded the Silver Star for heroism and bravery in Iraq. My decision, I'm a small business owner here in El Paso, Texas. My wife and I currently own a small business that trains local, state, and federal law enforcement officers throughout the nation. We've been doing that for the last 10 years. I'm a family man, a Christian. We have 5 sons and 6 grandchildren, all 6 of those grandchildren being raised here in El Paso County. So I'm hoping someday, a few years down the road, we have the pride that some of you parents have to right here get these scholarships and things like that. But I'm running to be a sheriff of El Paso County, not because I'm a politician. I'm running as a Republican because that's who I am. I'm a conservative individual. But I'd ask the voters of El Paso County to consider the two candidates and not the political affiliation. To ask yourself if a firefighter, a sheriff's deputy, or a police officer has ever helped you out, if you asked them their political affiliation, or if simply wanted the very best law enforcement officer or first responder to render aid to your family. I know how to protect people. I've been doing it for a long time. I've served in the military. I've been a high-threat security professional around the world. I've served on the lead teams responsible for the killing and capturing of some of the world's most dangerous criminals. I've also protected kings, heads of state, U.S. diplomats. I'll do the same here in El Paso County. In closing, I've had the fortunate and been the blessed to be endorsed by not just the El Paso County Sheriff's Office Association, but also the El Paso Municipal Police Officer Association, the U.S. Border Patrol Association and Union here in El Paso County, and the majority of the law enforcement agencies here in El Paso County. So in closing, I'd like to simply say, please get to know me, check out BushidoForSheriff.com, our Facebook page, talk to an officer why change is required, and just remember, the individuals that protect you support me. Thank you.
Thank you.
President, our next speaker is Lillian B. Maldonado. Good evening, board members, for President Dr. Galaviz. I'm here to address the 2016-17 budget compensation packet, where this fall, the next school year, 2016-17, you're asking or extending Teacher's Day by 30 minutes to make up the 30-minute duty-free lunch that we currently have. So you're asking us to punch in at 7:30 and punch out at 4 o'clock. So my question is, okay, we're giving you 8.5 hours by doing that, and currently we have 30 minutes free lunch, which we're giving you 8 hours, I guess, 30 minutes free lunch, you know, it's like you're giving it to us. But what about those teachers that come in early, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and leave late? We're giving you more than 8.5 hours and we're not getting compensated because we're salary employees. I feel that all this is being done to accommodate the breakfast in the classroom, to allow students to eat, but I want to know, have you taken the time to take the data or have the data that supports breakfast in the classroom? You're giving us extra duties, teachers, food service, custodians, extra duty without pay. So you're going to talk about the budget compensation. You were given different plans, 2% across the board, 1% across the board. I want you to consider that one of the options that you were given was a fluctuating depending on their description and titles. If you give 2% across the board, central office employees here are only 1% below market. 2% is going to make them over the market. Teachers are 4% below. Auxiliary is what was like 6 to 7% below. So by giving it across the board, you're going to accommodate some to go above the market, but you're still going to have a gap for those that are way below, like teachers and auxiliary employees. So I want you to consider what you're asking us to do as teachers. And that doesn't include taking home homework or work to do on weekends away from our family. Like I said, you're asking us to give you an extra 30 minutes a day. Please think about it. Thank you.
Ms. Yvonne Lugo.
President Fritzi, Board of Trustee Members, Superintendent Dr. Galavis. After 35 years of secondary teaching experience, I'm very proud to present to you my eighth graders from AMS in the Principles of Information Technology, or PIT class, as a high school credit course. Some students showed leadership and mentoring skills, volunteering for the peer-to-peer mentoring initiative at AMS, and others volunteer as tutors during homework detention after school. According to researchers Virginia Collier and Wayne Thomas, instructional strategies applied to English language learners also help mainstream and gifted and talented, or GT, students. Based on research from my doctoral studies, project-based learning in math classroom with English language learners, a qualitative study, and with the support of Mrs. Massey and Mr. Kimball, we started a school year project-based learning, or PBL, assignment. Okay, as you can see, go to the next one again. For the first time, eighth graders at AMS chose their high school endorsement and program of study, or POS, with the help of Ms. Blake, our CTE counselor, and Ms. Bronze, our AMS counselor. Parents and guardians' signature and awareness of our endeavor supported our mission, a clear educational pathway for their children. Ms. Claudia Nieves, a future certified nurse assistant, or CNA, attended Mrs. Esperanza Galavis, family nurse practitioner, a medical introduction section at Dr. Enriquez Clinic this semester. Ms. Nieves, can you tell us about your experience at the clinic and your PBL, please?
Yes, I went to Dr. Enriquez's clinic, and Ms. Galavis gave me a complete tour of the clinic. I mainly noticed the types of procedures done in the clinic, for example, taking off casts and x-rays. I am registered at CHS as a freshman. My endorsement is Public Services and Program of Study is Certified Nursing Assistant. A global issue that I am very interested in is in Ebola, because it's a worldwide epidemic. There is no cure for it, and I would like to research for solutions. I will be joining HOSA as Health Occupation Students of America Club to learn, acquire more experience for a desired career, becoming a CNA, a Certified Nursing Assistant. The college I plan to go to is Cornell University, because they have a nursing program that I would love to attend and learn and have more experience for my career. My bachelor's degree is healthcare and occupations. The classes that I will take in my major degree as a certified nursing assistant is biology, biochemistry, calculus, cell biology, chemistry, microbiology, nutrition, organic chemistry, physics, and physiology. My classes in my minor degree or leadership classes are personal mastery, financial management, human resource management, interpersonal effectiveness, caring, and systems thinking. My college budgets are, my health insurance would be 13% of my college budget. My student activity fee would be 7%. My books and supplies would be 10%. My tuition would be 50%, and my dorm room would be 27%.
I'm so sorry, sweetie, but because of time, but your I think your teacher can give us all your presentations so that we can look at them, and we want to take a picture, have time to take a picture with all of you guys, and maybe right in between, before we go to executive session, us board members can go and look at your project, okay, so that we can review it. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If it's okay with the board, we'll suspend the rules just so that we can take a picture with the kids, and then we'll come back.
Thank you.
Which one?
Is he the last of the Davids?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, might be.
Do you think these are their real phone numbers?
Probably.
No.
You're in high school.
This one's?
I thought of just.
He's a fake?
No, these are fake. This kid's Connecticut. He's an empty. New York City. No, these are fake.
They're aiming. That's good.
Okay. They're aiming. I mean, New York.
I love that.
Next item, Ms. Sonia.
Yes, ma'am. Item number 4, consent agenda. Administration recommends approval as presented.
I so move.
Second.
First and a second, Sonia.
For what?
Consent.
Oh, hang on. I have something. Yes, I'd like to pull.
Which one, ma'am?
I would like to pull A2.
A2?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Anybody else? Or do you have another one, Ms. Ross?
No, that's it.
That's it.
I'll amend it.
Second. Amend my second.
All right. Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passed. So now we will go to item A2. April 26, 2016, regular board meeting minutes.
So, Dr. Galavis, we had in our minutes, we've got the minutes from our open forum from our last regular monthly meeting. And I just want to make sure that speaker number one, that her concerns were taken care of.
Yes, ma'am.
Everything is...
Yes, ma'am.
Ironed out and good.
Well, I don't know if it ironed out, but from our point of view, yes.
Okay, I sure thank you. That was my only comment.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Break it up to that. I know when that happened, I had sent one of the parents to me before.
Yes, ma'am.
So I thought it was already, I didn't expect it, so I thought it was already taken care of.
Yes, ma'am.
So you have to address it a second time, correct?
Yes, but with more, with other parents, because that parent brought up other children, so we brought them all in.
Thank you.
And with that, I move to approve A2.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Sterling?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item number 5, new business, a budget compensation. Ms. Paparsky? Administration is committed to continuing working on this.
you'll see that what has changed is on the is in bold, and it's the state and local revenue. We received some updated figures from the appraisal district, and so we did get a bump in that. However, we received some news about some dispute, and the dispute is sizable, so we're making a conservative estimate of the revenues.
Madam Chair, if I might. Is the dispute only one? Is that just Albert, or is there going to be several other disputes?
Well, there probably are several others, but the one we're focused on is the 8 million.
That's the one that would have more of a significant impact to our budget.
That's approximately midway would be 350, 340 to 350. If they get it completely, it would be almost 600 cash. And it could be retroactive when they do.
You had a question, Ms. Ross?
Is that all, Ms.
Rodriguez? Go ahead.
I don't know which one to ask first. Breakfast in the classroom and our food service. I see at times in the budget you intermingle the food service, and at times you pull it out of the budget as a whole. And so to me that kind of confuses the numbers, because it's not consistent that, you know, it's either there all the time or it's not there all the time. Is there a reason that you do this?
There is. With the district being Provision 2 district, they have TEA makes the food service fund 101. So even though it's federal funding, and for all other districts it's 240, it's 101, so it is considered and reported in as part of our local funds.
But my question was, why do you take it in and out? Why does it not always show up as included in the budget?
Well, when you approve the budgets, you're going to approve the local budget. You will also be approving the food service budget. And so in the PowerPoint, you have both budgets. You have the local, and on most of the slides, you see where it says excluding.
Most of the slides. This is what I mean. Sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. But obviously, there's no particular reason for it.
Only because that's the way TEA has it in. So I'm sorry, I'm not sure which slide you're referring to, where it's not in.
So when we approved last month the new contract with FSC, I think it was beyond the desire of the board that breakfast in the classroom was not happening, that was not the preferred method, that the pilot program didn't really happen. I saw in Thursday packet we've got it not only as a pilot, it's in every single school now. So could you help me with that?
Yes, I understood that what the board did not want was breakfast in the classroom in the classroom. They wanted for SFE to meet with the principals and come up with something that would work. So what you had in the Thursday packet were some, I don't want to call them compromises, but it was something that would be a win-win for the campus as well as for SFE. And so they are working into some different delivery methods.
And will that be a hot breakfast?
There will be some hot and some cold.
And it will still be a burden to our teachers to deliver this to the children?
The teachers will be the
deliverer.
Some of the kids, though, I think the younger grades will be eating in the cafeteria.
Okay. We also got in a Thursday packet, and I have no idea what this is, and I brought it along. It seemed to go with the budget. It's an account.
Expenditure ledger.
That is the board's budget.
Okay. The sale of the bus.
We are working on that, but so far no takers.
Okay.
So we're trying to find someone who can advertise. We met with a gentleman today that has a company that could possibly advertise on the internet for us.
Do we have a for sale sign?
What do you mean?
I mean, like to put in the window and set it on the corner.
Has to go through a certain process.
Right? I'm teasing Armando. I'm not serious. But we are actively engaged in moving forward with that?
Yes, ma'am. Very and, much so.
Okay. What about our police force? Where will that be this year?
The new police force will not be until, I believe, fiscal 18. So for right now...
if approved, correct.
If approved.
Because it hasn't been approved, correct? No?
No, we haven't. We just
commissioned it.
I would have to find out exactly where he is in the process. But basically the plan was for him to get the initial bond and then to set up the space. He had several requirements that he needed to meet before he could apply for the certification.
Yes.
And so he's been working on setting up an evidence room, a interrogation room, and the other...
And so what has that done to the budget? What are we seeing in that?
He had to work within budget. He has to stay in his budget that he already had.
Okay.
So
until he can hopefully get a grant, and that will be the boost too. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
This was in your budget. You referenced our student-teacher ratios, which I had asked about. Dr. Galavis, it looks like we have really awesome student-teacher ratios. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And did our test scores, we have not seen our test scores for the year. Did they reflect the student-teacher ratios?
Well, I know from 5th and 8th grade, we've ranked 1 and 2 in the region, except for our 8th grade math, but we don't retest our 8th graders.
So we see a correlation then?
Yes, ma'am.
Is what I'm...
For some, I know, and we just received our EOC scores last... Friday afternoon, we've been going through all the data, scrubbing it, making sure it's clean. But we've seen improvements in most of the EOC. We still need some work in English 1 and English 2. But we're still removing the second-time testers, third-time testers.
So do you see a relation, a correlation between the two?
Between a student, teacher, yes, ma'am.
Okay. I have one other question. Dr. Galavis, where's the time capsule?
Oh, that takes place June
2nd.
That's your email.
Uh-huh.
That's your email.
Time capsule will be June 9th.
Can you fax it to her?
So yeah. No, the fax machine's down, Mr. Rodriguez.
That's on 9th, and we were updated. It was originally for the 8th, and right? Is that correct, Dr. Adams?
Yes, we just received word today.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And then it was changed to the 9th by Dr. Kearney.
And the contents...
They're asking the Board of Trustees to submit items by June 3rd.
Yes.
Okay, super. I have one other question. In our list of exemptions, we have two companies that have a pollution control exemption in the district. Do you know who those two are?
No, I don't. I have to check with Renee.
Okay, I asked for this about 2 weeks ago, and I've got the piece of paper, thank you very much, for all the different exemptions, what they are, who they are, but never specifically who these two are. It's for a really significant amount of money that they're being exempted, and it'll do nothing for us this year, but going forward for next year, I'd like to look at who they are and why they're being exempted from their tax if we could, and the sooner the better. I would appreciate it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, question?
Go ahead.
More on the human resources side. We're not, we've got 10 teachers, one librarian, three custodians/groundkeepers, and a truancy officer that we're not refilling. I guess the concern I have is, one on the truancy officer specific, because of our attendance and our goals for attendance, you're really not going to go out for a truancy officer, or is there more
than
just one?
And now the state of Texas has decriminalized truancy, so we no longer need a truancy officer, Mr. Medina.
But
is that correct? I'm sorry.
Not
correct
needing
me if I'm
one.
Wrong,
I'm not talking about not needing one. I'm talking about keeping our attendance up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the assistant principals now will be doing that as far as keeping up with the attendance.
there's no more, the truancy laws have changed, and so now there is no more court appearances. And
I understand that. I'm more concerned about attendance and the fact that we get funded for butts in the seats.
That's correct.
So by removing a truancy officer, not that we don't need it, and taxing this on top of the assistant principals, I just see a problem that could emerge. More so a concern than anything else. So it explains why we're not getting a truancy officer, but I'm just concerned that it could kind of bite us in the butt later.
Mr. Medina, so I guess maybe how are we going to hold the staff accountable? Are we going to create more incentives to ensure that the kids are attending school?
I'm concerned that we're eliminating a position that could help us keep kids coming to school.
Mr. Medina, and my understanding is that the truancy position here was serving the high school. So throughout the year, I believe there is attendance incentives that are given through the superintendent's office. I believe there's periodic meetings and leadership between the principals, and I know that Alvin Moreno in my office runs attendance reports, and those are scrutinized on a monthly basis. And information is sent forth to the principal. The principals are the ones that are making those attendance increases because of the incentives that are being offered, and also because through their office staff, through their EPs, it's a collaborative effort, and they're all working together to increase the attendance. And I know that probably Dr. Galavis can speak to the efforts that have been done this past year in regards to the attendance.
Also, Mr. Medina, trustee, is across the region, the truancy officers are turning into security officers. So,
it just depends on how the administration utilizes them.
Mm-hmm.
More so a concern than anything else. Just to understand that hopefully we don't see our attendance start to drop and our funding take a hit. The other thing is on this list, the 10 teachers. We didn't lose kids, but all of a sudden now we're affecting the student-teacher-to-student ratio. That's a concern. Obviously, we're not filling it in. I understand we're in budget constraint right now, but I would imagine teachers would be the last thing we would sacrifice at this point. Not that they're being let go or whatnot, we're just not refilling them. And lastly, is I know that there's a lot of positions that we're merging and whatnot. Does this mean that you're not going to be asking for PEZ, or does this mean independent of that? She liked that question.
currently, what the plan is. Most of these positions,
mm-hmm.
either because they were not filled or through attrition,
mm-hmm.
is that you find them on this list.
Okay.
We have met periodically with the principals, going over their numbers. Now, should we have an increase? Yes, I'll be back to ask you for additional teaching positions. So, will I need PEZ for next year?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I'm trying to be as conservative as possible in asking for that, and I know there weren't any built into the budget. So, we're hoping to garner some more through attrition, some more savings on these positions. That I know that last year we started with 5
mm-hmm.
PEZ. I know we came back and asked you for more, and then at the end of the day, we still have some money left at this year for those positions. But yes, I can tell you that I've been told that there is a Miss Tracy Speaker is coming personnel and asking for a science teacher to be in compliance with HB 5. So we're looking at that. But again, there is no PEZ built into the budget as of yet.
No PEZ, okay. And last question, is funding compliance clerk, sorry. I was also understanding that there's grant writer or part-time. That is, we don't go out for grants. There's plenty of money out there that we're not seeking. I'm concerned yet again that we're not, that we're sort of hurting ourselves and binding ourselves in this position, this funding compliance position. Is that correct?
That was the title that existed in that position, funding compliance clerk.
Mm-hmm.
But it was serving in the front office and finance. So this
okay.
was not a grant writing position.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I agree with you on the attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Funding I mean, it's very important. And I know that if, even if I, and I don't do attendance, but if I see it, I start calling parents. And there's nothing better than that one-to-one.
Know your kids.
Because that gets their attention.
Know your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the parents really aren't aware a lot of times, believe me. And yes, the phone master is easy and convenient, but it's a report. The reporting tally, and that kid will say, I was just talking to class. You know, and they cut the gaps, and, you know, there's always a story. And that's funny. That's what brings us, that's what pays for the positions. Attendance clerks, for one.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? And the other thing is the mechanic. My question is on the mechanic. I know that right now there's sending the buses out for mechanical work to private entities, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So, is this a savings for the district?
Yes, there is already a certified mechanic on staff, but Mr. Vasquez spoke with them, and the problem would be the equipment. It's not that we don't have a certified mechanic, it's that we don't have the proper equipment that he would need in order to do some of the work. So as much as can be is done in-house, and I believe this was a position that had been vacant for quite some time.
The one that you see here had been...
This looks more like, and I don't know what a journeyman or the main mechanic would be getting paid, but this seems more like an assistant to the... That's usually the way it works in shops.
Yes, and that
you have the main mechanic, and then you tell the people.
That's correct. But this position has been vacant since September of last year, of 2015.
And that's when they started outsourcing? Their mechanical work?
No, they had always been.
But it increased it? Because they were short person?
The department did not. Not indicating that they were short.
I just want to make sure that we're not investing more money into it with our resources than keeping somebody in shop. Because that pretty much was a position that I know it was also somebody from the community.
We done.
Go ahead, Mr. Are you done?
I have two. What's the percentage in regards to the human capital cost? Do you have that?
You know, what percent of the budget?
Mm-hmm.
I have not recalculated it, but it's...
What, 90?
84%.
84?
84%.
Well, let's see. If you look, we have cut on both sides. Both the on the non-personnel as well as personnel.
What has it been in the past, or what's your estimate?
I believe it's like 84, 85.
So 84, 85, and that's just human resources. Does that include health benefits?
Yes, that would include the 6,100
accounts. So those two accounts is what makes up 84% of our budget.
Well, it's salary, overtime, all of the benefits.
Because the number one cost to school districts, right, from what I've understood through some of the conferences, number one is HR, second is insurance costs, and we're having huge escalation in regards to the costs that we're actually spending for insurance. Am I correct to say that?
That we're going to have an increase?
Well, that's where we're seeing the increase. I mean, what happens is the majority of the percentage of budget is the human capital, the
yes,
HR.
45 million is salaries.
Salaries?
Salaries and personnel.
And then?
As compared to 9 million or other.
45 million includes benefits.
And I guess my major concern in regards to looking at the fund balance and the 2 million that we're looking at, I just think maybe if y'all could look at I guess either doing a cost-benefit analysis or looking at ways we could streamline, or I know Dr. Galavis and Ramrock had looked at certain positions and maybe we could close that gap even further, because I would prefer to close that gap. I'm not comfortable in regards to that.
I can barely hear you.
Yeah, I would prefer to close that gap, the fund balance gap, in regards to the budget. So I guess if we're continuing to see positions and a lot of stuff that we hear from staff and from the communities that were top heavy at the administration level. So I think if you could continue to come back with us on ways of cutting or finding savings in that area to close that $2 million gap, that's my concern.
Madam Chair, I've got a question for Ms. Carrasco. Ms. Carrasco, you have a teacher here, number 1667, from Jose Damian. It has that will be an internal transfer. I think that was a retirement.
That's correct. But the campus, because of the enrollment, still needs a teacher there, so it's going to be a transfer from another campus.
Okay.
Access.
I was hoping you were going to tell me she was staying.
No. Okay. No, she's leaving. So that, because she's leaving, she's listed on here as a savings, because that salary is a savings to the district, because her place, she will be replaced with an internal transfer.
Okay. From another campus?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. I understand.
Question for Dr. Galaviz.
Yes, sir.
We're losing a teacher at essentially every single campus. Are you comfortable with that?
When you look at our deficit, and Ms. Pekarski, one thing when we were talking about this, last year we had to borrow $4 million from the general fund for it, right? And then now we're looking at $2 million. And again, we've been, since Dr. Vahil, we've been going over schedules, we've been going over with principals and looking at, you know, excess, looking at critical needs. I know you're looking at the title of teacher, but again, we're really trying to maintain quality along with class teacher to student ratio. So, I mean, yeah, comfortable, I guess, to answer your question.
Okay. Just because one campus alone is losing two teachers, but we're not replacing Kennedy Elementary in specific, and I guess the quality of education is the concern here. I mean, we're talking about two things, obviously attendance and education, and even the maintenance of our facilities. I understand the deficit, and we do have to make some tough decisions, but, you know, children are hopefully the last ones we impact when we make these decisions. And I still don't feel comfortable removing that truancy office, I'll be honest with you.
I agree with you, Mr. Medina.
Yeah.
Mr. Medina, even though it's just for the high school?
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's where...
Imagine if you go into a facility and there's no security, just because there's no title anymore. The kids are going to run amok. It's chaos, because now there's nobody going to be looking for you, right? It's the perception of no one's going to be there. Not to say that our security and whatnot cannot handle that, but they have safety issues more so than attendance issues. Knowing these kids should be a specific duty, and I'm really concerned about losing that truancy officer. As, you know, out of all the things here, we feel comfortable removing teachers and all these other, you know, positions, or not filling them or through attrition, but that truancy officer generates money and ensures money continues flowing in. So I'd really like for you to reconsider that truancy officer.
I would agree with that completely. And I think there's just something, and it's attendance versus security.
Mm-hmm.
That truant officer puts the fear of the truant officer in children. I mean, I know it did when I went to school, my boys went to school, I doubt anything's changed. There's just an accountability measure that is a student you feel, knowing that there is somebody with a title making sure you're in school and they're watching you.
Mr. Gardner, if you ever showed up my location, my model has just gone after.
And I understand what both of you are saying, but they can't do anything about it, because they can't no longer sell. Take them to. They can't do anything about it other than telling them and going and telling the parents, but they can't hold him really accountable other than they're going to lose credit. Before, they used to go before the justice of the peace, and the parents and the child would get in trouble. Can't do that anymore.
I think
you can still take him.
So
you can.
I think
you can.
One of the things that we need to look at it is that as a system approach, I think Rachel made the
bless
best
you.
Case for it in regards to that phone call works better. I think some of these, whether it's security or some of the police officers that we're going to have on campus, will be probably much more effective than what we have set up currently. And so I think
it's an old system.
I yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a system of the way to approach it. When it comes to 3 days, you know, and it's consistent behavior, then the people that are closer to that, to those students, need to address it. And I think some of our frustration in the past too is that the way we addressed it in the past wasn't working. So hopefully it's a good, I mean, we could come up with a good model and have staff come up with that, you know. But I think when you look at what we were paying the individual and what we would get, it's going to be the same.
I think what happens a lot also, Mr. Rodriguez, is that parents don't change their phone number, so they don't get the calls that their child was absent that day.
That's where the office comes into it.
Right, and so
and
they end up...
As soon as that happens, you research it and you mm-hmm. find out.
Right, and so they get the letter already when it's way past due, and the letter sometimes also address and phone numbers, and that's where we need to leave it to administration to make sure that principals, office staff, or whoever is in charge of that, to make sure that we're updating all this information so that it is given to the parents in a timely manner.
It's
so,
funding.
Yeah.
Important. Yeah, and I think that's the biggest concern. It is funding. I understand it's been decriminalized, but now that just means I'm going to keep an eye on that attendance every month a little bit closer, just because if it starts to slip, now we have a problem, especially kids at the high school level, not that it doesn't happen at the middle school. They need it. They need it, and you know we're here to set them for success. And I just hope that it gets monitored and assigned correctly. Assigning it to an assistant principal may not be the best, but that's not for me to decide.
But you know, assigning it to anyone, they've all got jobs to do,
mm-hmm.
and that's just an extra duty, is what you're
it is.
Yeah.
It's something else for them to do. If they had time to do it, I'm sure they'd be doing it on their own. I doubt anybody's got a lot of time left over at the end of the day. For the amount of funding that this takes, I mean, we're not looking at much money, and the person who's been here, I believe, is going to retire. And so the salary is probably at the top, correct, Ms. Carrasco? Yeah, but that salary is up at the top, not
above
at an entry level.
And again, you know, Elvia is in the room, and we do monitor the attendance, and I believe we've got attendance in the 90s, 95-97% attendance. And again, everybody at the campus is working on that. The principals take the lead on the attendance, and like I said, Elvia monitors that closely, and the information is sent out, reports are sent out to the campuses. So it takes, as Ms. Cabana has said, the efforts of the office staff, you know, the AP, the principal, and like I said, we talk about that all the time as far as in our leadership meetings.
Thank you.
Ms. Gonzalez had a question.
Yes. Martha, can I connect with both of you? Martha, Kate. If we dip into the fund balance, how much will be left in the fund balances up to the 30th? And how much are we supposed to have as the
fund? Okay, if you turn to page 19 of the PowerPoint, it has the fund balance. So showing that this year, we're, finance has been working on some projections on where we're going to end the year, and we're hoping to end at 2.587. You'll see that under the assigned column, that $350,000 is something that we are reserving for the lawsuit, whenever that becomes
some money aside because this year, it was retroactive for this year, we have already spent the money. And so we might have to pay that back. So you'll see that in next year, we're adding another 350 to that. But on the fiscal 17, we will be ending with an unassigned fund balance of $5,769,000. And the current monthly expenditures are $4.6 million. So we'll have a little bit more than a month, and the target is 3 months.
So it's just 1 month?
Yes, ma'am.
30 days versus 30.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Thank you.
So, in your PowerPoint, you say we have a monthly outgo of $4 million. Yet I read that warrant list every month, and it's not $4 million. It's usually about a little over $1 million to $2 million. So am I missing something? I'm looking at this month's warrant list. It was $1,030,000.
Does that include salaries?
Is it?
It's probably your end.
The warrant list wouldn't have payroll.
Okay, that's where we're missing. So that's what's bringing it up to the full. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on this item? Next item, Sonia.
Item 2, Human Resources. Need discussion and recommendation regarding the 2016-2017 compensation plan. Society.
On Monday, April the 18th, I presented during our committee meeting on the information on the different models that we're presenting to the board. I believe when Ms. Stavina was here, she presented a 2% and a 3%. She presented the information on those salaries. I believe that on that day, we recommended to the board a 2% general pay increase for all employees. And that was at a cost of $1,038,960. And based on the conversation that Ms. Cadena and the board and the discussions that were had, she came back with a different model, taking everything into consideration that the board had asked as far as increasing some of the teacher pay with stronger pay adjustments at different intervals of years. She took that into consideration. So basically what she came back with, the different model, and I provided you the documentation. Now, based on that information, the increase now is $1,085,661. And that's with those adjustments that were discussed during our meeting. So at this point in time, we're making the recommendation to the board and providing the information to the board for their guidance and direction on if we're going to proceed with a general pay increase for our employees for the 2016-17 school year. I believe in the presentation that Ms. McCreskey gave to you, she included some other options at the bottom regarding a 2%, a 1.5, or 1%, and what the effects are on the budget. I believe she provided different scenarios. These numbers were derived from finance. And so that's the information that was being presented to you all. And I'm here this evening and asking for your direction and guidance as to what we're going to do with this. I remember, if you recall, I said that if we were going to provide a general increase to our employees, a decision would have to be made in the month of May. We would have to move forward, and if you were to approve it, we need the month of June to prepare all the information in the system and to verify the information so that we would be ready for that first payroll in July. So I'm here before you to ask for that guidance as to what direction we want to go.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir. Mr. Medina.
Ms. Pekarsky, what page was that that you provided us into it? In the, is it in the PowerPoint? Or was it in this?
She's referred to this.
Okay, it's not the first.
The figures that Ms. Carrasco is giving you are the district-wide numbers, whereas the reason why it's only $1 million on here is because this is only for the local budget.
So if I'm reading this correctly, plan two versus plan, sorry, model two versus model three.
Which do you
made different adjustments for teachers at different levels, correct?
I think that's correct. I don't know.
And what specifically was adjusted?
I provided you the pay scale for the teachers.
5, 10, 15, 20?
Yes, at those years, if you look, basically it is a 1% general pay increase, which is a $500 across the board. Everybody gets $500. However, the adjustments or stronger adjustments were made at the various different years, 5 years, 10 years, you know, as the years progressed, there were stronger adjustments. If you look at the 25 year, of course, the adjustment is not as strong because it is already at, with the adjustment that was made, it's already at 100%. So I provided you so that you could see what the adjustments were, what the general pay increase was, and of course the adjustments at the various intervals.
So at this point, if we do the 2%, we're still looking at a $160,000 deficit based on your numbers, Ms. Carson?
Yes, sir.
And those are PEZ. That's the only questions I have. Thank you.
Is this counting on every get taxes?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Ms. Ross. Is this counting on every
Ms. Grosko, which one do you feel is appropriate, best fit for our district, our teachers, our support staff?
The model
three,
which is what the board, after the discussions with the board, what she came back with at last
and I'm reading in your backup, the adjustments in Model 3 include the high impact special ed aids.
That's correct. It includes all the adjustments that she talked about as we were moving forward. I believe there was going to be a division, for example, with the food service manager, secondary and elementary. A division with the office manager, secondary and elementary. There was going to be some adjustments to the general maintenance. I mean, all of those discussions were had when Bruce was here, and then on top of that, she took into consideration the additional requests that the board made and incorporated it, knowing that we were at a budget shortfall, you know, incorporated as much of it as she did, and then we still, as you can see, the increase is modest between the first presentation of $1,038,000 to $1,085,000.
So, thank you.
Was that it?
Was that
yes,
Mr.
yes. For now, yes.
I guess my major concern, unless we reevaluate and have Dr. Galavis go and look at some of these positions to close that gap, I'm completely uncomfortable with, you know, a $2 million reduction in fund balance. And then not only that, but not even looking at 2 months of operations. That's a serious concern that I think at this time we shouldn't make in regards to the salary increases.
So what you're saying is that we shouldn't consider the salary increases?
At this time, unless Dr. Galavis sort of come in and fund some other savings.
Madam Chair, could I ask another question, please?
Go ahead, Ms. Ross.
On our rate 41 utility increase, I see that you've budgeted a, you know, significant amount for that. Mr. Padilla started an amazing energy efficiency program in the district. Is it going forth? I mean, it's so easy to save energy and in so doing save dollars.
Yes, Mr. Vasquez is looking into continuing an energy saving.
And is that, I mean, looking into really isn't good enough for me. That is going to happen because our rates are going up, so we've got to save even more.
Yes, ma'am. And that's something that we can put in a Thursday packet is what's happening with that.
And I really don't advocate to enforce this policy, but we do have a policy that says if you have a refrigerator, you're going to pay $75 for the refrigerator towards the electricity of it. I think that people need to be reminded that, you know, electricity is not free, that it went up. We need to send out some internal memos. That's an area where we can find savings. And I don't mean to nickel and dime us by any means, but we do see significant savings. I want to say last year it was like $40,000.
We take all nickels and dimes.
I agree. But you know what I'm saying. I'm looking for some significant savings, and I hope that that's somewhere that we will approach our staff that, you know, turn that light out. Unplug those computers. I mean, the amount, I think it's $4 a day it costs to keep each one plugged in, and that was before the rate increase. So I hope that we'll look at, you know, small things that could help us in ways that we wouldn't normally think of. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Earls. Mr. Medina?
Just one question. The JCI contract required us to, well, didn't require us to do certain things in order to fulfill and realize savings on a yearly basis, and we're going to discuss that, I'm sure, tonight. But as part of the process, we had to pay out some money last year to ensure that we were in compliance. I think it was like $400,000 or so. I don't remember the amount. But it seems as if we put these great air conditioners, great lighting, sensors, whole system, and it's costing us more than it ever did before. It's in line with what Ms. Searles is saying, but this is different. We can hold somebody accountable for this, and I'm hoping we can get, you know, some info tonight. But is it limited only to Reyes Elementary that we see an increase in utilities, or is it district wide that we're seeing this, besides the rate hike?
I need to get that information. I'm not.
Yeah, and as Reyes is built a lot different from our other elementary schools, the higher ceilings, the
open windows,
and so I would imagine just the, again, I'm not an architect or an engineer, but just looking at Reyes, and it's kind of built like our high school, if you will. Big, open, so all that takes a lot of energy. But Board, I want to bring back to the, get you back to the compensation, because JCI and all that stuff's not on the on what we're asking. What we're asking is, last year we did not give a raise to the employees. This year, you know, we feel as administration that we should. And I know $2 million and the policy about what you should have as far as 3 months, and but I know a lot of districts don't do that or don't have that. And I know we're kind of deal. I've heard that before.
Thank you.
But I still think, again, this deficit or this didn't happen overnight. So again, last year we had to borrow $4 million to balance it. This year we're asking for $2 million so we can give a raise to our employees. And again, I just talking across the region, and I asked Ms. Carrasco today, and most school districts aren't giving raises across the district. Am I correct?
That's correct. In our PAR 19 meeting, when we meet with all the area HR directors in Region 19, you know, usually we all sit around the table. Everybody keeps it very close to the vest, you know, as far as what percentage. But for the most part, I have not heard as of yet that anybody is not getting a raise. So all the other districts, it looks like, are giving their employees a general pay increase. And, you know, I know that, you know, we've taxed our employees, you know, to do more with less. And, you know, everybody has been a trooper as far as, you know, anytime we ask them to step up to the plate, they do. We did not have a general pay increase last year. As you saw in Lucy's presentation, we've fallen down to about midway. If we wait another year, you know, we're going to fall below the halfway mark in the region. I understand this is a difficult decision to make given our financial situation. I know that we're scrubbing and looking, and we will continue to do that as we move forward, as other people are leaving the district. You know, we're looking at each and every position. So we are still continuing, we'll continue to add to this list of savings. As you can see, the savings on there are $1,093,000, that $865,000 of savings that we have so far. Of course, it's a combination of local funds and special revenue funds. I know Ms. Pankreski is focusing on the local funds, but as you can see, there's already been a significant savings in what we've done so far. Now, absolutely, do we want to have some of these positions back, hopefully, in the next year or two, you know, when the hospital goes up and we have, you know, a little bit more activity? Yes, you know, we can bring back some of these positions. But I think for now we need to tighten our belt to be able to afford or to move forward in giving our employees what they need. You know, it's a cost of living raise, you know, and most of them, I know that in surveys that we've done, the personnel survey, the opinion survey, you know, one of the things that is listed on there, one of the priorities is that the compensation, you know, compensation is something that they're looking at that, you know, they're falling behind. And so I realize that, you know, we're asking for a lot here because if we all tighten our belt, everybody is on the same page as far as understanding when we ask them to do more for less, but at the same time, we're looking after our employees.
One last question.
Ms. Gonzalez first, Mr. Medina, and Mr. Rodriguez.
I understand and I accept that our staff is wonderful and deserve every penny. And it's true what you said, we need to tighten our belts, but I think this is not the year to be asking for a raise. We keep dipping into the general fund and we keep going deeper and deeper into the hole. And as for me, I don't think this is the year. But
last year wasn't either.
Well, let it be it. So this is how I see it.
And of course, we'll respect whatever decision the board makes, and we will move forward with that and continue to work just as hard.
Thank you.
Mr. Medina?
Is the recommendation from you, Ms. Carrasco, is 2%?
The recommendation is to follow what is on that Model 3, yes.
Model
2%.
3.
Model 3.
Yes, which is the 2%, and then the 1% with the stronger increases for the teachers.
Dr. Galvez, your recommendation?
Yes. The Model 3.
Model 3?
Okay. Yeah. However,
he will take what he gets.
No, well, you know, you look at the board-approved healthcare increases. You mm-hmm. put in $1.5 million, and then if you look at 1.5% increase, that's we're in the black. And I know we're borrowing from fund balance, but we're in the black for $89,000. So, but again. Our recommendation is 2%.
That is our recommendation, that, like I always say, we'll take in run with whatever. Yeah. So whatever the, if the board feels that we can afford something less than that, you know, we'll take whatever the board.
Anything else, Mr. Medina?
That's my only question. I want to get administration's recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Medina. Mr. Rodriguez?
I guess going back to the same comments that I made earlier, I know we have to be at market or if not above it, but I guess my main concern is in the past, and past administration has just created positions here, created positions there, and we continue to work through attrition, and when we're working through attrition, sometimes we're not looking at certain areas. We're just saying, okay, let's save it through there instead of really shaking up the organizational structure and seeing what's benefiting kids. And so, I mean, I'll just put it out on the line. In regards to instructional coaches and campuses, we hear that they're part of the AP staff instead of really developing instructional teaching models. And some might do it, some might don't, but that's what we hear as a community. I don't know if others have heard that. And so I guess going back to my understanding when we interviewed Dr. Galavis in Round Rock, they found that some of those weren't as beneficial, and so they cut that. And not only do we have instructional coaches at campuses, we have instructional people within the curriculum department. So which one's the one that is actually working? I'm not an educator, and I'm not here to say which one is which, and that's what I want you all to tell us and look at the organizational chart, because that's what we're continuing to have the same problem year after year, because we're not really looking at the problem. And the problem is administration and trying to figure it lean. I don't know what needs to be done, but that's a problem I see, and that's what I'm hearing. I think once we're able to maybe look at what is working and what isn't and make it more lean, then we're able to be more competitive, because next year it's not going to be any different.
And Mr. Miller, I guess I'd just like to clarify that. This year there's three campuses that do not have instructional coordinators. And also, because of the funding for those positions, they cannot serve in an AP role like. So maybe in the past years back, that was how they were used, but I can assure you that currently they're being used appropriately according to their funding.
Well, according to their funding, no, but are they being effective in regards to what that? And so I think what we need to look at is if we're doing it through attrition or moving people, maybe we should move some of these people. If there's three campuses that don't have it, why is that? Should we, you know? That's what I want you all to come back to us and say yes or no, so that way we could really find some savings.
Any other questions, Mr. Rutherford?
I don't know if the superintendent wants to say anything on that.
No, I don't. I mean, I think Ms. Carrasco summed it up. We're looking at, this is all 199. We're looking at efficiency and being effective in the positions. As the instructional coaches that you're talking about are Title I, and we're looking at moving them over to state comp. So again, we do look at positions every day. The assumption that we're still doing the same thing, it's not happening. We talk about that every day, every Monday at cabinet. So
if I may. Just clarify regarding instructional coaches. We have been in conversations relating to the federal programs, which is also reduction in funding as well. And these instructional coaches are funded with federal programs. So we're also looking at how, with Dr. Mejil and Ms. Elda Moreno, even HR. So we've been looking at those positions as well because of the funding as well in the federal programs. So definitely we've been looking at
And I don't want to say in the past couple of years we haven't. We have, but it continues. We're just doing it through attrition. I think what we need to look at it as an overall model and say, okay.
And yes, and that's what Dr. Rehita has been trying to do, because yes, that's what we're finding to be for them to be more effective, whether we use them more for intervention, more direct instruction for the students, modeling and so forth. So yes, we've been meeting along with Mr. Guerra, which deals with the federal program, so yes, we've been meeting at those positions.
Well, hopefully you all will report on that. I mean, we're still in the budget. But
two, and then
we can start
to
provide some information as far as what we've been doing, the different options that we're looking at, because
yeah, we have to, in order for it to be for payroll in July.
Yes.
Okay. I understand.
We have to do it.
We have to do it.
Thank you.
Recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments from the board? With the board's permission, would you guys like to vote on each 2, 1, 7.5, 1.5? Would you like to go down, or would you like to just pick 2 and 1.5, or what would you like to do?
Let a motion happen, and whoever throws a motion, we'll see if it passes
or
not.
Motion to approve administration's recommendation with 2% increase.
Is that model
3?
It needs to be clear.
2.
If you're picking one of the options,
model 3.
Yeah, if you're going to pick one of the models, because that's not
clear.
2% across the board. Right?
Model 3 is 2% for employees across the board, except for teachers. Teachers will be 1% with the stronger additional adjustments.
That's what I mean. So it's not.
It's not.
The motion can't. I don't want to tell you what your motion can or can't be. You can pick whatever motion you like, but. If the intent
like
is to
that.
Adopt a model, it needs to refer to a model.
Yeah, it has to refer to a model.
Not awarding an across the board percentage.
So model 2 is 2% across the board. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
But it doesn't have the special ed?
No, it does not. So model 3 is what includes everything the board discussed with Bruce.
So it costs more to do Model 3.
Right.
Models. Yes.
And our teachers aren't getting a 2% increase.
They're getting a 1% with the stronger additional adjustments.
Yeah. We can modify.
Yeah, then we have to go through each one to modify, right?
So that's
just
the
model.
That's Model 3. That's, remember I said Model 2, the one she presented, was $1,038,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then with everything that was discussed that evening, she
correct.
Came back with Model 3. That's $1,085,000. And then, of course, what
but then we're isolating our teachers and giving them a 1%, except if you're in this special class.
The
you're,
actual
you're,
step
you're
increase
giving
is supposed
them the
to be
1%.
More than.
Remember, the board had requested that the teachers up at the top, let's say year 0, year 1, you know, that their increases not be as strong. So that's where she controlled it with the additional adjustment. Remember, you all talked about compensating for longevity, things like that. So she was able to do that on a teacher pay scale and take the amount of monies that we had available to make those adjustments throughout the years.
I'm going to go ahead and rescind my motion.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Mary.
Yes.
Mr. Iglesias, I'm sorry.
The additional adjustment, does that equal more than the 2% for those that you added the additional adjustment to?
In some cases, it may.
Yeah, that was the one.
On the closing of the gaps, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those were the additional adjustments that she made as well. If you look at the pay scale, it's got
but it does.
General increase plus all the benefits.
What about
they
if I might, Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
What would the model look like if it were to be the 1% across the board and then the step adjustment?
I would think that if and talking right now, I would leave this the teacher pay scale the way it is on the Model 3. And then if you want to do the 1.5 for everybody, the way Ms. Pekarsky has laid it out there, I mean, we can do it that way too. And all that Model 4, I guess, something that they're picking
what would
up
be,
here.
What would be the 1%? So
that
be
was not something that was presented by
if that's something we can model, right? I mean, what would it be? It would be a fair adjustment for teachers, and it would be a 1% across the board.
Say it
again. It would be a fair adjustment for teachers and a 1% across the board.
So instead of the 2%,
I mean,
1%.
I'm not for it, but I think it levels the,
you
I guess,
to take
your
into
thought
consideration
in regards to
the 2%. Insurance increase, and if we keep the 1%, I'd love to know what the difference would be, but I say if you're going to treat everybody the same, treat everybody the same. I don't like singling out the teacher.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, I have a question. Ms. Carrasco, which one of these models benefits our teachers the most?
I would recommend the Model 3. again is capturing everything that, as a board, you talked about that evening, making sure that as the years increase, their salary adjustment is a little more.
Which is good, but is it the one that will most, because what I'm hearing is 1% for the teachers?
A general pay increase is across the board. And so what she did here, based on that recommendation,
yes.
On this one here, let me see, year zero, the proposed increase, the income would be, the salary would be $46,500.
Model two?
That would be model three.
Three? Okay, let me turn to
page 10.
I've got it, okay.
On model two, year zero, is $47,100. So as you can see, the model three is reflecting your sentiments about making sure that the years as they go, as you go more into the teaching profession, the increase is heavier on those other years. So you can just see by the starting salary, what she did is that she went ahead and made those adjustments within the pay scale to make sure that she could go ahead and without adding additional more money or making it much more cost prohibitive, she went ahead and made those adjustments on the salaries. So model three reflects what you all talked about to her that evening.
So if I'm reading this right, sorry, Madam Chair, question?
Go ahead, Mr. Medina.
So if I'm reading this correctly, I'm comparing model two, the 2% GPEI, and it starts at 47,100.
That's correct.
Model three starts at 46,500, correct?
That's correct.
But what I'm seeing is the difference that you've increased the 5, 10, 15, 20 year. Because that's what we're talking about, is those 5, 10, 15. It's not much different. For example, the 5-year, 48,100 versus 47,670. Yeah, actually less on the 5-year. On the 10-year, you're going 49,100 on model 2. On model 3, you're doing 49,793. I don't see sort of the big hoopla about just identifying these 5, 10, 15, 20, it would actually, be less, it seems to me, if we do the 5%, or sorry, the 5, 10, 15, it's not consistent, and with it not being consistent, then we start to look as if it's not fair across the board to our teachers. So I'm just looking at this purely on the numbers, purely on the 20-year, 55,181 versus 54,390. I'm just comparing model two versus model three.
Okay.
There's not much difference, you know. And where's that significant bump that you're talking about? Whereas we just treat all the teachers the same and say everybody gets 2%. And it seems as if the cost is actually cheaper if we do that versus doing this adjustment. Certain teachers here, certain teachers there. We're actually doing another $50,000 on top of that to accommodate that. Is that correct?
Well,
and I know this was the board sentiment, so I don't want to, you know, put you on the spot as if, you know, you came up with this, but am I reading this correctly?
Well, you are getting more money. The teachers are getting more money on model three as they increase in years.
The cost of the district?
The cost of the district is a little bit more.
It's $50,000 more.
Yes.
$50,000 more.
Yes.
But
overall,
and then there's other.
Yeah, it includes the special ed and the adjustments that were made.
And I think we can adjust special ed separately. I think my concern is treating. If we're going to bump them all. You know, treat them all the same. If we want to get to market, get there. I don't think an increase in insurance costs, which we saw them experience this year, and then we're going to go ahead and do that again next year in the middle of this. It's really going to throw us into a tailspin. I guess the concern really is I don't see the value in isolating our teachers and creating more ill will versus just everybody gets 2%, it's going to be a little cheaper, and at the end of the day, we're still going to borrow from fund balance. So that question, even though I don't like it, it's going to happen, and it's more of this difference. There's not much difference. So that's just more my comments.
And as I said, the options that you have before you, administration will make a recommendation, but we're presenting all these different options.
Understand.
And whatever the board chooses, that's what we'll do.
That's my only question. Thank you.
Do we have any motions on this item?
Yes, I do. I've moved to approve Model 2, which is a 2% increase across the board.
Do we have a second?
To include the adjustments for the special ed.
To include, how much would that be, actually?
That's Model 2. I mean, we said we're going with Model 2, and then...
Are we amending Model 2 now?
That's we'd have to append Model 2 to include special ed.
I'll take whatever you all give me. I'll work with that.
I mean, the thing is, if I might, Madam Chair, if staff is providing the models, and then you're asking us to go by that model, then let the board decide on those models. But that's a recommendation.
Well,
what's his motion?
He's asking Model 2, but with the additive.
Well,
special ed.
Special ed.
How much is the cost of special ed?
So he's making his own model.
Yeah, that's what.
Essentially, that's what he's doing.
Make his
three.
So my motion would be to recommend to take an administration's recommendation of 2% increase, Model 2, one of the two models recommended tonight, to also include the special ed.
Is that okay, Mr. Blanco?
As long as y'all know what it is.
Okay, so
Model 2 plus the special ed.
And that would be the only adjustment on Model 2, Ms. Carrasco?
On Model 2, I think we had the maintenance. We had, I'm not sure if we had the food service, but I can double check.
So we're doing Model 2 with special ed.
So it's Model 2 with the special ed.
So I have a question for administration.
Yes, sir, Mr. Rodriguez.
So what does that not include from Model 3 then? I mean, my vote still, I just want clarification. But
what does it not include?
What does it not include?
Yes.
I believe the additional things that were talked about, Model 2 does not include the adjustments to the special ed.
Okay.
And I believe does not include the food service.
In relation to the food service, what?
The managers. Basically, it's the managers that.
They wouldn't get a pay increase?
Yeah, they would get a pay increase. There is a pay increase for everybody across the board.
So it's 2% across, so we treat every employee the same, 2%
yes,
across the board.
Do it.
And we're adding special ed.
And we're adding the additional adjustments for the high-impact aides. That was something that she explained that evening that she had left off because she didn't have the names. She didn't have the special ed aides, how many of the high-impact aides
three
that were dealing with the...
So right now you're asking, it looks like there's...
And I believe the adjustment to that, the placement scale adjustment is $8,000.
Madam Chair, I've got a question.
Go ahead, Ms. Ross.
Ms. Carrasco, in the board packet, I'm looking at this paper, the second to the last sentence, these adjustments are included in Model 3 with a revised pay scale for the instructional support pay group. So how does that play in to Model 2?
It's not included in Model 2. It's just the 2% across the board.
Because they're recommending Model 3.
Okay. I thought you just said Model 2.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
So we have a motion from Mr. Medina.
Which is?
His motion is 2%, Model 2, which is 2% across the board, plus some additional amount for these high impact aides. They're getting 2% plus an additional amount, is what you're saying.
And that additional amount is?
It's approximately $8,000.
So $8,000 on top of the 10?
Yeah, for about 15 employees.
So 15.
That were identified by the special ed director.
So it's 120 on top of that.
top of the 138. Okay.
So do we have a second from anyone on the board?
Motion dies.
Motion dies. Do we have another motion for another model or another percentage?
We have to pass something.
There's zero.
Yeah. Have to be a model two.
If there's no motion.
If there's no motion, then we have to vote on zero.
Well, it just...
No yeah. increase at all at this time.
You don't have to vote. It just goes to next item.
Is that correct, Mr. Blanco?
You don't take any action on it.
We don't take any action. It dies, right? Okay.
I don't know if that sits well.
No, that doesn't sit well.
Well,
we haven't really had, I don't think, enough interaction to come up with something that we're all comfortable
with. We're not comfortable with it.
Okay.
And I have to be honest, I feel like I'm kind of pressed against the wall that we've got to make this decision tonight, that all these questions that we're asking, they're still open-ended. They're still open-ended to all of us. I don't think any of us are comfortable.
So the $1,038,000 is the 2% increase across the board. You said 8,000 for 15 individuals. That's 120,000. So that comes out to 1,128,000. Is that correct? Somebody check my math on that. 1,158,960. The difference, so we're actually going above the Model 2, and the Model 2...
Is there another motion that not it goes to
was
median?
1,085.
Yeah, why not?
So we're 70,000 above what your original recommendation was. Is that correct?
So the 8,000 is for all the employees.
It's not per each.
So you're saying 8, well, because I heard 15.
Yes, 8,000 for the 15 employees.
Including.
So it's only, okay, so now you're talking two different numbers. So 1,038,000, again, I think this is why we're a little confused. 1,038,000 for 960,000 is the number for Model 2. Now we're talking about an additional 8,000 on top of that, give or take. So let's just round that number to 8,000, right? So we're talking...
Mr. Medina, are you trying to come up with...
1,046,000. Yes, I'm just trying to understand sort of the amounts, because the amounts are...
That's way too many numbers for me, Mr. Medina.
Yeah, no, 1,046,960. It's only 8,000 above our current Model 2. So my original motion was Model 2 with additional special ed.
So I've got a motion to make.
Okay, Ms. Ross.
I move to give, it looks to me, and it's, I do not see a model attached to it.
Sorry.
I'm looking at this paper. And with this paper in mind, we can give a 1.5% increase to all staff. Is that correct? What I'm reading here, that's what happens. Everybody gets 1.5%. We are not in the red for anything. We actually are 89,000 over. That's to the good, and you can hire that truant officer.
But still using the 2 million.
Pardon?
We're still dipping in the fund balance.
I understand, but not quite as
deep.
So I would move to, and I don't know, help me with the motion to make sure all the people groups are included. I move to do the 1.5% increase with the attention to the high-impact special education aides. Will that...
You'd have to add them in.
We do 1.5 plus the 8,000 additional for the high-impact aides.
So I move for the 1.5% pay increase with the additional for the high-impact special ed aides.
Second.
We have a motion and second from Ms. Searles and Mr. Medina.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead. Yes, Mr. Blanco.
Sorry. Are you calculating that off of the midpoint of the salary scale, or where are you calculating that from?
The 1.5 number came from finance.
But is it, you're saying it's across the board, but across the board off of what number?
Yeah.
Not everybody.
General pay increase comes off of midpoint.
So are y'all clear about that, that it's coming off the midpoint within the salary schedule?
No.
Because not every employee is paid the exact same amount. Every employee is paid
family. And that's the way to make it equitable, is because you take it off of midpoint, and everybody in the same pay grade, or
right.
The same number of
years,
is the same amount.
Which in so doing, I guess we just destroyed Model 3, which caused the people who have been here longer to get more money. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're right. Model 3 had equity adjustments built into it to theoretically reward people who had been here for a longer period of time.
So then could my motion be modified to give a 1.5% pay increase with special high-impact special ed aides attended to, and with people who have been here longer than...
I have no idea how to calculate that right now.
X amount of years.
You could, but I don't.
But you'd have to...
With adjustments instead of the 2%.
Pay adjustments at 5, 10, 15, 20...
I don't know what those numbers would be. It's only probably feel comfortable.
It would be easy to figure out, correct?
Well, other than the scale that or the form that I've given you, that's what we have calculated right now.
It's making the
model. I'm able to make sure it from. Off the top of my head. And
so that's just making a new model, and we're just muddying
well,
the
it's
water.
It's making it more.
Yeah,
I understand.
For us to really
I do totally understand.
Sure. Make a sound decision.
Go ahead. Ms. Quintana.
Does it have to be tonight?
Yep. In order for it to be ready for payroll in July, right?
That's correct. And I believe I voiced that at each meeting that we've had when we've talked about the budget, that we would have to make a decision about salary increases in the month of May. Because in June, we won't be able to make the July payroll. Especially if we're taking 1.5 or a model that TASB has not prepared for us,
yeah.
I'm going to have to get back with them and have them prepare that percentage so that we can go ahead and bring it up. So I do need the month of June to prepare the increase, and I think I've said that multiple times.
I'll withdraw my motion then, Madam Chair.
Withdraw my second.
Well, we still have one day left.
In May?
In May, next week. Maybe we can come up with a better solution.
That's a very good recommendation, Ms. Quintana.
Can administration come back to us?
To where we're comfortable
yeah.
with what we're doing.
I don't think there's anybody on this board that doesn't want to see a pay raise given. It's just that the ones we've been presented with still seem to present problems.
Well, I think the issue is our revenue stream.
I think you're right.
But do we put it on the backs of teachers?
No.
Yeah. And our employees? Ultimately.
No.
That's our decision.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Ms. Rolls.
I move to revisit this, to have it as an action item on our May the 31st meeting.
Is there a meeting set for
yeah. We have a facilities master plan.
Ooh.
And that's the other thing.
We need clarification on what they want.
We need clarification of, we need to give directive to administration exactly what models need to be presented or what do they want for us. Do you want for them to present new models? Are we going completely back to the drawing board? What are we...
If I take it back to the drawing board, I'd have to take it back to TASB.
Do that.
And I can tell you that between now and Tuesday,
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I won't have that information ready for you. We've got the Memorial Holiday coming in here this weekend. So I won't have anything by the 31st.
Sir, is there any questions or would you like completely new models that can be answered? Or so that we're prepared to make a decision on this on the 31st?
My view is I don't think we should look at any new models. I think what we should do...
Just take them all the administration recommends?
Well, I mean, that's the way it should work. I mean, take administration's recommendation and vote on it and see where it goes. But, I mean, we're just delaying it. But I'm not...
So...
I'm not making any...
So
motion.
The...
Because it's 2 weeks, that's what we requested.
the models you gave us what we requested.
Mm-hmm. You did.
So
we need a motion for administration's recommendation.
So I'll move to adopt Model 3 with the revised pay scale for the instructional support pay group.
Second.
There is a motion and a second, Model number 3, with an adjustment for the high impact 8, is that correct?
That's built in.
It's in it.
It's built in, okay.
So just Model 3.
Okay, very good. So, Ms. Fritzy?
No.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
No.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
No.
Mr. Rodriguez?
No.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
So does that mean there's no pay raise?
Well,
that motion failed.
That motion failed. Okay.
So I move to adopt Model number 2.
Second.
With the special, with the pay adjustments for the high impact special education aides.
Then my second.
All right. Ms. Fritzy?
No.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
No.
Mr. Rodriguez?
No.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
Yes.
So I now move to give a 1.5% raise across the board to all district employees.
1.5? 1.5. No adjustments to high impact?
Yes, with the adjustments to the high impact special education.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. Ms. Fritzy?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
No.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
No.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And Mrs. Iglesias?
No.
Motion passes. Thank you. Number 6. Executive session. This meeting is being held under Texas Government Code Section 551.071, 551.072,